If you haven't tried Super Beats Soft Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Soft Chews combines non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beats Soft Chews promote heart-healthy energy the way nature intended, without caffeine or stimulants. Just take 2 delicious Super Beats Soft Chews a day, anytime, anywhere. You won't find blood pressure and energy support that tastes this good anywhere else. And now with your first purchase at danasbeats.com, you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of vitamin D3 Chews for immune health support. That's a 30-day supply of both Super Beats Chews and vitamin D3 Chews for free. Act now and also get 2 free bonus gifts valued at over $50. Only available at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
The $2 trillion demand that you previously had. And also, I'd like you to respond to Attorney General Bill Barr saying there was no widespread fraud, please.
Well, in response to Attorney General Bill Barr, I guess he's the next one to be fired, since he now, too, says there's no fraud. Trump seems to fire anyone in that regard.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome to the show. That's not exactly what was said, but I mean, you know, it doesn't matter because nuance is dead. Nobody cares anymore. It doesn't matter. That's not exactly what was said. And you're going to lead a whole bunch of people into slap fighting about this stuff because and he even I even think that he actually spoke with Catherine Herridge. And I was actually looking for this in my long list of stuff and said that even was saying that that's not exactly how that's not exactly what he said, right? But I don't know. I don't think Bill Barr is part of the deep state. I don't believe he is. I don't know. And anybody I think who at this point is, I don't know. I don't let people blow smoke up your butts about this. Honestly, there are a lot of people out there, a lot of people who are on cable news and elsewhere acting like, oh well, yes, we know this is exactly why. I think that there's just a lot of stuff going on. I think there's a lot of things shifting, but that's not exactly what was said. Not in the slightest. And we'll talk about some of that. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at D Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook as well. And we have a lot to jump into, everything from media bias to the latest with Biden transition things, the election fight, because there's some pretty amazing sound bites that have been coming from the Michigan hearing, the Michigan Senate hearing on voter fraud and all kinds of stuff. And you're not going to want to miss any of it. So a lot of things happening. And also with the continuation with the reaction to coronavirus as well. So, and then I just saw this tweet from Cuomo saying New York's first delivery of the Pfizer vaccine will be enough for 170,000 New Yorkers. So I guess what his team was able to vet some of the stuff, I'm not sure. So welcome to the show. It's good to be with you this Wednesday. We made it halfway through the week, y'all. We're just powering through. I'm here to get you through it, right? Just, I'm like your intellectual news and issues of the day and current events, your trainer, and I'm going to motivate you. I'm going to yell at you, and you're going to do squats, and it could hurt.
What?
It'll burn, but in a good way. Maybe. All right, so first up, I have to start with this thing that blew up yesterday. It was like right after we got off radio, and it had to do with, let me pull this up, Jen Psaki. Now, this isn't so much about Jen Psaki as it is about the media reaction and the way in which media explained it and the way in which she herself was actually deflecting criticism. And I wrote about this. If you subscribe to the newsletter, I'm not even going to apologize for this, all the stuff I've been sending out. That's what you signed up for. You signed up to get stuff as it happens and original takes on it, not regurgitated nonsense. So just to set the perspective for you, media has said for so long, wearing red hats, MAGA hats are racist. But apparently, if you wear a Ushanka, which is the furry hat. Actually, I had to look it up because I was like, it's not a hat. It's like something else. A Ushanka with a hammer and sickle on it. That's what it appears to be. That actually just needs context. So let me set this up. Jen Psaki is Biden's pick for press secretary, right? And so back in 2014, she was pictured with Russia's communist foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov. And he's a communist because he literally was a member of the Communist Party until it was quote unquote outlawed in Mother Russia. We all believe that, I'm sure. And this was with some, it was like they met and they exchanged gifts, etc. And Matt Wolkin, who works, he works with the campaign. He's actually the director of communications for the Trump campaign. He found this picture. It's been online out there for forever, but you know, nobody was really talking about Jen Psaki until her name came up as this pic. And so it was a photo of her, Lavrov, and another Russia's chief foreign affairs, person. And then, of course, John Kerry had to get up on her, you know. Well, this is 2014. So she was the spokesperson at the time for the State Department in 2014. And that's all what that's Matt Wolkin just described the photo. So USA Today comes in. Oh, my gosh, you guys. Joe Biden's press secretary pick is in trouble. In comes USA Today. Not all heroes wear capes. And here's the headline. Fact check. Jen Psaki was gifted a hammer and sickle hat at a diplomatic meeting. Okay. That's literally what the tweet said. That's not a fact check. That's like apropos of nothing. Me going, fact check. The earth is round. Nobody said it wasn't. I mean, normally, if you are fact-checking something, it's because someone has said something that is not true or accurate. So the media ombudsman comes in, or they act as the ombudsman, they come in and fact-check this to determine whether or not the statement is correct or incorrect, true or false. And so USA Today felt that the mere existence of this tweet required a fact check, but they didn't check anything. So this is what they said. Our ruling, missing context. Jen Psaki, recently named White House press secretary for President-elect Joe Biden, is seen in a 2014 photo posing with the Russian foreign minister and his spokesperson, along with then-Secretary of State John Kerry. She is wearing a pink hat with a hammer and sickle emblem. It was a gift from the Russians. Okay? And they said that anything else is caps lock, missing context. What? So all these people on the left were like, it's not a hammer and sickle hat. You can't even tell what it is. Okay, USA Today just said it was, you morons. They literally just made our argument for us. How dare you bring up this? We're going to fact check you. How dare you bring up the fact that Biden's press secretary is pictured in a hammer and sickle, Yushchenko? We're fact checking this. She's actually pictured in a hammer and sickle, Yushchenko. Okay, that's what we said. Yes, well, we're fact checking you. By repeating us? There's no claim made beyond the photo, except they were describing exactly what was in the photo. They didn't object to her named as being pictured in said photo. They didn't dispute the fact that she was wearing a Yushchenko, and they didn't dispute the fact that she was wearing a Yushchenko with a hammer and sickle emblem. These are the same people that said that MAGA hats were racist. This is why I'm saying it's more than just about Jen Psaki. They said that MAGA hats were racist during a time when people were attacked in public for wearing MAGA hats. Media called a high schooler a racist because he wore a red hat and he wasn't provoked by a bigot who likes to present himself as a professional victim. Now, the Fourth Estate has never before ever extended any kind of courtesy like this to anybody who is on the right or right-ish. And I know this from personal experience. I can't tell you how many times I've had legacy media do this to me. So there's no context to add to the tweet. And I don't know when legacy press just now, well, I guess maybe it was when they think, you know, Biden won, that now context is important. This is the same press, by the way, and I want to remind you all, that insisted that Trump's his during the transition period, his foreign policy advisor, Carter Page, they insisted that this guy was a Russian agent, and they were forced to eat their hats after the IG report came out. And it was revealed that not only was Carter Page not a Russian agent, but he was actually an operational contact with the CIA against the Russians. You know, context. Yeah, he didn't receive any kind of context like that. And the FBI didn't provide any kind of context when they were misrepresenting him to FISA judges. No, the truth didn't make the rounds as the lies did, as the lies before it did. No. And of course, how many times do you recall, and these are just a couple examples, media going back to that Charlottesville thing and saying that Trump, well, he said that there were fine people. That's what he called those racist and neo-Nazis. Except that's not at all what he said. I mean, even, what was it, like PolitiFact even said that that wasn't true. And they released the whole transcript. But, you know, context. No, this is the new spin from the left. It lacks context. And by the way, I've noted that they've tried this when the Hunter Biden crack computer story broke, and they ran to go and defend Joe Biden's 50-something-year-old child because they were insisting on context. And our tax dollars even paid for some of it because some of it was NPR. And then when Joe Biden made the remark that he didn't want his kids growing up in a racial jungle when he was fighting against desegregation, the media came back during the primary and the general and said, well, this lacks context. What context does it lack? Like the white hood? Like what are you talking about? I mean, for crying out loud, I mean, I could sit here and tell you all the times that media presented stills of things I've discussed and presented it without context. Mm-hmm. And some of the grifters who should be investigated on the right falling for it. I wonder, you know, when I look at some of this other stuff, like how it just amazes me. Context, context, context. So the Fourth Estate thinks context is situationally important, apparently. All right, so coming up, the same network that released secret recordings of the First Lady went to go cry to the police they wanted to defund because someone recorded them. And according to wiretap laws, it actually is not a felony, as they suggested. We're gonna discuss that as well here coming up. Also, the latest with the election. We're going to look at what's happening in Georgia. We're also, going to look at the advisory panel determined who should get the first coronavirus vaccines. We'll discuss that. A bunch of hypocrites about vaccine requirements and mask mandates. We've got that for you as well. And we have just a lot. Grifting ain't easy. Cancel culture. Just a ton of stuff. So you don't want to miss a single second of today's show. Not at all. And make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter. Travel around the holidays is always hard, and especially this year. It's incredibly difficult for a lot of people to get with loved ones. So I've gotten some of my flower friends at Bloomsy Box to announce their Bloomin' Cyber Monday sale. So right now, save 25% on spectacular Bloomsy Box flowers, like the ones I'm sending to some of my family for the holidays. 25% off. Bloomsy Box are better blooms. And picture the smile on that special someone's face when your holiday flowers arrive. It's kind of magical. Bloomsy Box are spectacular flowers sustainably grown on family farms around the world. Your flower gift is handpicked, arranged at the farm, and delivered straight to your door so they stay fresher longer. Their prices are already incredible, but with their Bloomin' Cyber Monday sale, you'll save an extra 25%. No hidden fees, no endless upsells. The sale ends soon, but you can get 25% off now if you hurry over to bloomsybox.com and enter Dana. That's promo code Dana for 25% off at bloomsybox.com.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, I know everybody was talking about that Brad Parscale interview with Martha McCallum last night. In the interview, he was blaming what he says was the president's lack of empathy, coronavirus empathy, for the election loss, which I thought was kind of specious. And He said that we lost suburban families. He said, quote, I think that goes to one thing, opening the economy versus public empathy, as though they're two separate, completely mutually exclusive things. I don't dislike Pascal as a person, but I've just never been a fan of him because I always just felt that he was just kind of out of his league with doing what he was doing, which I think that's why there was the shift in personnel, because he was better on the digital side. But it is what it is here, you know. Also, this, I'm watching some of these stories, the arrests that are taking place in Hong Kong. The activists who have been taking, engaging in these demonstrations. And in fact, one of their lead activists over there, Joshua Wong, was just sentenced to 13 and a half months in prison, while another protester received 10 months simply over a protest in which they actually didn't damage anything, which was another blow in to the political opposition in the, well, what used to be semi-autonomous city that China's trying to take over. Also, China lands, they want to land a spacecraft on the moon to, they land a spacecraft on the moon to collect lunar rocks. So just, you know, several decades after we did that. Great job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look at you doing that. Don't give them a pandemic. Don't take any Rona up there with you. Just, you know, just FYI. The defiant Staten Island. Did you guys see this guy? This was kind of, I'm doing my 12 o'clock, by the way, headlines. I just realized. But this Staten Island bar owner, he was in the news because he refused to close down. This was after Cuomo and de Blasio were closing down all of these restaurants, all of these businesses, all of these bars. Max Public House. Daniel Presti is the, he's the owner of the Staten Island bar, and he was arrested just because simply he was running his business, right? And so sheriffs went, they said they declared themselves an autonomous zone, which I, you know, because like Chaz, right? So apparently that didn't count. And the police went and raided Max Public House. They arrested one of its co-owners, Danny Presti, who I just mentioned. They said he was uncooperative. The officers issued the pub several violations for flouting city and state health orders. Dozens of angry supporters descended on the establishment as well. And so now he was released after his arrest, Presti was. And apparently, obviously he was cited and I think he's going to have to go to court. But there were, you know, no injuries in the protest for his arrest or anything like that. But this is just crazy. This is, you know, and we're going to have some hypocrisy on this here coming up. And this coming out of Australia, a photo from The Guardian reveals that an Australian soldier was drinking beer out of a dead Taliban fighter's prosthetic leg. It was Guardian Australia that showed the limb being used to down drinks in a special forces bar in Afghanistan. Where seriously, are we going to get like hurt feelings over terrorists that try to kill like soldiers, like Australian soldiers or ours? Just curious, is that where wokeness is going? We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere. If you haven't tried Super Beets Soft Chews, you're missing out. Super Beets Soft Chews combines non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets Soft Chews is clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Super Beets Soft Chews promote heart-healthy energy the way nature intended, without caffeine or stimulants. Just take 2 delicious Super Beets Soft Chews a day, anytime, anywhere. You won't find blood pressure and energy support that tastes this good anywhere else. And now with your first purchase at danasbeets.com, you can get a free 30-day supply of Super Beets Chews, plus a free 30-day supply of vitamin D3 Chews for immune health support. That's a 30-day supply of both Super Beets Chews and vitamin D3 Chews for free. Act now and also get 2 free bonus gifts valued at over $50. Only available at danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com. danasbeets.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
It has all gone too far. All of it. Joe DeGeneva today asked for Chris Krebs, a patriot who ran CISA, to be shot. A 20-something tech in Gwinnett County today has death threats and a noose put out saying he should be hung for treason because he was transferring a report on batches from an EMS to a county computer so he could read it. It has to stop. Mr. President, you have not condemned these actions or this language. Senators, you have not condemned this language or these actions. This has to stop. We need you to step up, and if you're going to take a position of leadership, show some. My boss, Secretary Raffensperger, his address is out there. They have people doing caravans running their house. They've had people come onto their property. Trisha, his wife of 40 years, is getting sexualized threats through her cell phone. It has to stop.
My goodness. So this was one of the Georgia election officials, Gabriel Sterling. He is the voting systems implementation manager for the Georgia Secretary of State's office. And this was the press conference yesterday. And he, the incident that he was talking about had to do with a video of those Dominion voting machines that in Gwinnett County, because there were all these the accusations of vote manipulation, and there was this contractor who was discussing it. Lot of I'm telling you. So you could tell he was mad. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. My concern with everything in Georgia is that I don't want there's a way for it to be handled and a way for it not to be handled, because unfortunately you still have, and we've talked about this before, but because, you know, this is still ongoing, I think it's worth repeating. There's a way to handle it and a way to not handle it. And one of the ways to not handle it is to let everything ascend to this rage shriek and then end up dividing support or dividing the base and costing the Senate. Because if you liked the previous 4 years under President Trump, and you liked the tax cuts, and you liked the reduced regulations and all of the, you know, everything else, then you would not want to erase that by handing the Senate to Chuck Schumer. Because that's, and I'm not exaggerating, that's exactly what will happen. Everything that he's done I don't trust Biden to push any kind of executive order authority to the nth degree, and I don't trust the House to or any of these bureaucrats, these appointed, not elected people. I don't trust any of them to not exceed their authority either, because there's a lot of things actually that can be done without having the Senate. Really, without even having the House. I mean, there's a lot of regulatory things that can be done. But if they have the Senate, then it makes it just that much harder to undo it. So there's some concern here. And people, you have to understand this too. And to the defense of the individuals, all the voters out there who are upset, because we pay a hell of a lot in taxes, y'all. We pay a lot in tax. And part of our tax dollars go towards functioning, operational, working election systems. And I really don't feel as though we got the return on our investment in every state on that. Because that's our money that is used to run these elections. It's our money. And that you can't get angry at people who are seeing real, verified irregularities and straight up fraudulent votes. You can't say that there's been no fraud. You can't say that there have been no irregularities. People are understandably upset about this, as they should be. This is a serious issue. And Georgia, for whatever reason, I don't know why Georgia consented to using these Dominion machines. Texas didn't. They didn't want to use them. We were talking to the lieutenant governor about that. They didn't want to use Dominion machines. They didn't think they worked well. They thought they were too easily manipulated. But why? So why did Georgia do it? And here and Texas, we have more people. We were able to get everything counted and situated. Why wasn't Georgia able to? So you can't get mad at the passions that are running high. I don't condone any kind of, and I never have, as someone who has received them from the left more than I think more so than any other, almost any other pundit or any other person on air. I mean, I have literally been in an arena where people said that they wanted to burn me on camera, and the video's out there. I've tweeted it. So I don't need it. I give the lectures on that. I don't receive them. But you can't fault people for being outraged over incompetency. And so I think while I understand Sterling's anger over the threats, he should also take care to not, in condemnation of specific threats, not universally as a whole, disregard or even appear to disregard the legitimate and absolutely justifiable outrage from voters who feel that they are not being represented through the taxes they paid for an operational election system in that state. I mean, in case people have forgotten, I mean, we're a country that has literally fought to the death over stuff like this. And that is not something that just leaves the spirit of liberty that is in all, that's inherent in all these citizens. I mean, for crying out loud. So don't tell people that, you know, they shouldn't be outraged or even give the appearance that you are suggesting that. And the threats and the intimidation and all that stuff. I mean, a lot of us have been through this. But maybe this all could have been avoided if the election had been run better in that state. Why is that not part of this discussion? That is not unnecessary criticism. That's not a personal attack. It is simple fact. So I noticed, I don't know if you all saw this, James was going to be on with us today and something came up. So he may be on with us tomorrow. We'll see if we can make it happen. Oh, yeah, but and that happened literally right as we went to air. I saw this tweet. Let me pull this tweet up. It was from CNN PR. I don't know who runs this account, but this is the same. I just wanted to point out that this is the same Twitter account that didn't they try to go at like Janice Dean and, you know, like other people before? Like it was run as though it was somebody's personal account, but it's literally the verified PR account for CNN. So last night, and we played audio of this yesterday, there were more tapes that were released from Project Veritas about James joining the conference call that CNN was having with Jeff Zucker, apparently for months. And when Jeff Zucker responded yesterday, that was, I think, one of the first times you heard a grown man defecating himself on video. So the CNN PR account responded to one of James' tweets with this, quote, "Legal experts say this may be a felony. We've referred it to law enforcement." No. And I had tweeted out, and I even tweeted a link to New York's wiretapping laws. Actually, that's not how that works. It's not a felony in New York. New York, when it relates to, I mean, you would only have to have one party consent, and anyone that had access to that conference call on the code, etc., passing that on, is that constitutes consent. So that wouldn't at all hold up in court. And I'm not the only one who said that. There were actual New York attorneys who are licensed in the state of New York who said, no, that you're actually would be the ones with the legal problem, not him. So there you go. But I do think it's funny that this is the same media entity. And I pointed this out last night. I said that this is the same entity that released those, what is it, the secretly recorded Melania tapes where she was overheard talking about Christmas decorations, except she wasn't actually talking about Christmas decorations, more so she was talking about all of the hate that she received from progressives about Christmas decorations. But it is interesting how the network that released those secretly recorded FLOTUS tapes went to snitch to law enforcement on James O'Keefe because he released tapes of them. Because you're not supposed to watch The Watchmen. I wrote about this. You received this last night. Yeah, they went to town with those tapes, remember? I mean, they went to town with them, and then they go and cry to law enforcement about it. But here's what's incredibly funny about this. And Red State has this piece where they, and Brandon Morse wrote this, where CNN, they promoted defunding the police one day, and then the very next day, they wanted to go tell the police that James O'Keefe did them a wrong. I don't know how you could listen in on CNN calls for 2 months and just not even make a peep. Oh my gosh, no. This is why I'm not an investigator, because I would take off a flip-flop. But that's, man, I tell you what, you just never know. But this is, they had promoted this. In fact, what was this? Just literally the day before Allison Camerota, not just Allison Camerota, and multiple times throughout, not just the day before, but weeks and months since all that movement to defund the police first began, CNN gave platform to all of that. But then now they wanted to go tell law enforcement, the same law enforcement that they gave platform to activists who called for defunding the police. And I mean, gave platform. They didn't just air it as a news story. I mean, they aired it like an advocate would. And there is a line between advocacy and journalism. And then they went to go tell the police that James O'Keefe did a no-no. Mm. I think it's hysterical. I think it's absolutely hysterical. I laughed my edible snakes off when he announced himself on the call and said, "Hello, Jeff Zucker. I've been listening to you for 2 months now." Can you imagine the Whiskey Tango Foxtrot expression that Zucker had on his face? Ooh, boy. And then it's pretty funny. So we have, let me give you the latest, the other, what else we have coming up here. The latest with coronavirus. So the CDC, the first vaccines, the CDC panel who voted on this yesterday right after our show, said that they will be offered to health workers and nursing homes, people who are in the long-term care facilities. Those, they will get the first doses of the vaccine. They have different stages. And different phases, rather, of the vaccine rollout. Phase 1A is set to begin. And as soon as they get the authorization from the FDA, which notoriously drags its feet on absolutely everything, and they're just, and they make it punitively expensive to even get their approval. It's insane. You want to talk about more regulations that need to be reduced? There you go. Sidebar, because your point, Kane, can I just go back to the CNN thing really quickly? Because before we go to break, because you made a very good point. You were talking about the Zoom call guy, Jeffrey Toobin, who was tubing it to his coworkers on a Zoom call. Is that the legal expert that they asked about whether or not that was a felony? Did they ask the guy who was caught tubing it to his coworkers on a Zoom call? I'm just curious. If you're a regular listener, then you've been hearing me talk about Kel-Tec and all the reasons why they're one of my personal favorites when it comes to firearms. Privately owned family company Kel-Tec has been making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms since 1995. Driven by creativity, Kel-Tec does not simply copy other weapons on the market. They innovate new firearms, including the new Sub CQB. This folding suppressed rifle is bred for home defense. It also looks cool. And also new is the Kel-Tec RDB Defender with its patented downward shell ejection system. Both weapons are lightweight, easy to handle, and proudly made right here in America by dedicated employees who strive daily to find better ways to produce efficiently with quality, reliability, and affordability in mind. To find out more about the Sub CQB, the RDB Defender, and all other Kel-Tec firearms and products, check out KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC Weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you. KelTecWeapons.com. Kel-Tec, creating innovative quality firearms to help secure your world.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
That's right. And subscribe to that newsletter. Lots of good stuff coming out. And we're, as I said, I'm going to be here shortly, and I'm kind of going back and forth as to when I'm doing it, but I'm going to be, we're going to be launching a paid subscription newsletter. So you'll, there will be one sent out, a newsletter that's free that's sent out every week, but then more that are sent out, a minimum of three others, which, you know, it's not going to just be three, that are going to be sent out throughout the week to those who are subscribing, who are paid subscribers. And it's literally only going to be like a couple bucks a month, so it's not a big deal. But we're going to be launching that here very soon. There's a, I wanted to get a couple of things in place first. Also, we have to take a moment right now to remember Walter Williams, who was an amazing, amazing thinker, scholar, communicator, economist. He passed away, Walter Williams, and it was announced actually just this morning. It was one of the first things that I saw this morning when I woke up, and he was just an absolute icon in libertarian thought, conservative thought, liberty. I mean, period. He hated flying commercially, I think, as much as I do. And he was also the Distinguished Professor of Economics, John M. Olin Distinguished Professor of Economics at George Mason University. And I had just ordered one of his last books, and I started it a couple of days ago. And I read Williams even when I was still identifying as a Democrat. And so he contributed to that conversion all those years ago. So rest in peace, Walter Williams. Prayers for his family. We have more to come. Don't go anywhere. This November, we must take a stand. Now is the time to stand for what you believe in, for what makes America great, and for truth and freedom. With Patriot Mobile, you can take that stand with America's only Christian conservative wireless company. From now until November 7th, switch to Patriot Mobile with their Stand Up for Freedom promotion. Get a free Samsung A11 phone with 2-year commitment, free premier activation, and a free gift. Patriot Mobile takes a stand with a portion of every dollar going to support organizations that simply support the Constitution and your values. At 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for a free Samsung A11 phone, free premier activation, and a free gift. Or get a free month of service and $45 off any phone in stock. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Stand up for freedom now with Patriot Mobile. That's 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, our plans, your freedom.
Wasn't really listening, and I think the reason is that with Dr. Fauci, I think his belief that we should submit, that we're all members of the hive, we're all members of the collective, that submission is more important than the facts. For example, in the spring he said masks don't matter and don't work. New England Journal of Medicine also said in an editorial that they're basically a talisman, that they don't work outside the hospital setting. But then they changed their course over time, but they're not really looking at data. We have mask mandates in dozens and dozens of states and countries, and without fail, every time we've instituted a mandate, the actual incidence of the disease has risen.
That is Senator Rand Paul not being wrong, discussing the mask mandate and the flip-flopping over the reopening of schools and not reopening of schools, et cetera, et cetera. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. I'll tell you where to find me here momentarily. And one of the other things the senator said was, you know, you got to push back once the vaccine comes out about wearing the masks. And I was thinking about all of this and we have a headline that I'll be getting into, Gavin Newsom, who's going to, he's like now threatening to more restrictions or something like that. He had tweeted, he said, going to repeat. California is flattening the curve because folks are staying home. Wait a minute. They stayed home last time, so it didn't do it. What makes this time different? Just curious. That's the question that nobody apparently seems to have an answer for. Especially these lawmakers who are insisting that all of you stay home, you forego your holidays, you forego family gatherings, you don't be with loved ones when they're kicking the bucket, none of this stuff. And I came across, I mean, there's a ton of stories of hypocrites, and we've been talking about them, not just, you know, with Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot or Nancy Pelosi visiting salons, but, you know, we had the story, a lot of people in California, the San Francisco mayor, London Breed, right after Gavin Newsom had his French Laundry bougie party, she also went and had her own French Laundry party. And it makes me think that a lot of people are getting paid too much if they're all going to French Laundry, because what did we deduce? It was like $300-something. That's probably, I don't think that's with liquor. The average, that's like the base price of a meal. Yeah, she went after she told everyone to keep their butts at home and cancel your Thanksgiving and everything else. She took a few days off and she joined a bunch of other people to celebrate some socialite's birthday. And they dined in a room with a ceiling, just like, you know, Newsom did, four walls. And at French Laundry, again, I mean, how many of these? This is crazy. And then you had the San Jose mayor. Check this out. This is Sam Liccardo. NBC Bay Area Investigative Unit learned Sam Liccardo celebrated with his elderly parents at their Saratoga home with an unknown number of other guests. While the mayor's staff did confirm that they had a dinner that took place, they would not disclose how many other people attended, how many different households were present, whether or not any of those in attendance wore masks while not eating. And Liccardo's chief of staff, Jim Reed, said, quote, "This is a private event, not public. We're going to redraw the line between what is personal and what is public, because that line has become blurred," end quote. Well, I think Reed, as well as Liccardo, they forget that they work for the people for whom they're issuing these restrictions, not the other way around. And there's no line. Don't kid yourself. There is no line when you go beyond your authority to tell other people what they can and cannot do in their homes. You can tell people what they can do in their homes, but you, the elected officials, somehow are beyond reproach. Then you need to get out of office. You don't get to tell taxpayers that. And he's not the only one. You have the LA County Supervisor, Sheila Kuhl. She voted to ban all outdoor dining last week. Just hours afterwards, she dined outdoors in Santa Monica. In Texas, you remember, maybe you heard of his name, Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's the guy who thinks that he's going to be governor of Texas someday. And he virtue signals by way of picking petty fights with Governor Greg Abbott. And I don't like the fact that Greg Abbott had a mask mandate. I don't like it at all. And I've said my piece about it a lot. He resisted the demands from power-hungry judges like Clay Jenkins and others to give them the authority to fine people for not wearing it. So Dallas County Judge Clay Jenkins, you might remember him originally, though, because he's the judge who sent salon owner Shelley Luther, remember her? He sent her a cease and desist in an effort to shut her down after she nearly lost her business during the mandated lockdown. And he argued with the Texas governor over restrictions, you know, and virtue signaled. He's on Twitter all the time telling people to stay home, wear masks, social distance, don't go out, don't have Thanksgiving. And then he was pictured flouting his own rules after extending mask requirements and restrictions on businesses. Someone had tweeted, because, you know, the Denver mayor took off. Literally, the Denver mayor sat in the airport telling people to stay home. They got camera footage of him. And the exact time he tweeted to tell people to stay home, that mayor was literally in an airport getting ready to fly out for Thanksgiving. Somebody had tweeted that. And another person said, yeah, Dallas has one of these. And there's a picture of a maskless Clay Jenkins out doing exactly what he tells people to not do. Mm-hmm. Now, and Jenkins also called for a nationwide mask mandate. Texas Scorecard had a good write-up of this. Now, my county judge, the county in which I live, the county in which my kids have to wear masks to go to school all damn day, despite the fact that contract tracers hired by the schools to determine how anything is being contracted, they determined that schools were actually safer than anything else. My county judge, Tarrant County, Glenn Whitley, he extended our mask mandate He asked our governor to fine us for not wearing masks. He wanted to cancel all of our kids' school sports countywide. And days before Thanksgiving, the commissioners, and of which he is the spokesperson, and he's supposed to be a Republican, guys, he extended the countywide mask mandate. And what, I think we have to go to February now for this stupid mask. And then after he extended the mask mandate and social distancing, and he wanted to fine citizens who didn't wear a mask, his daughter posted a photo of him without a mask, not practicing social distancing at a business, at a birthday party. This after they were telling all of us to stay the hell home for Thanksgiving, intimating that somehow we would be murderers if we didn't. Shelley Luther had to spend time in jail because she violated the rules. Rules like the rules that Glenn Whitley can create but not abide by himself. Rules that judges like Clay Jenkins can create but not abide by himself. This is inexcusable. We've reached out to Tarrant County Judge Glenn Whitley. And every single day that this mask mandate is in effect, we are going to continue to reach out and we are going to make ourselves very well known to him. Because do not expect us, Judge Whitley and Judge Jenkins, to follow any rules you make that you yourselves do not follow. You work for us. This is inexcusable. People have spent time in jail. There have been raids conducted. You remember the raid that they did on nail techs who just did someone's nails in the privacy and freedom of their own home and the state came in? You had Meal Team 6 outside going in to bust these women who were licensed cosmetologists? No. All of these rules out and they try to shame you for not following them. Jenkins tweets all day long. All day long, he tweets. Shelley Luther said, shocker, Judge Clay, maybe you should serve 2 days in jail. Yeah, Texas County judges apparently don't believe that the rules apply to them. So I don't see why we should have to wear masks in Tarrant County, because clearly the judge who created the mandate and extended it doesn't believe that he should. Tell me what makes Judge Glenn Whitley so much more special than the rest of us. I have friends who had to bury parents and they didn't even get to have funerals because of orders like the ones Glenn Whitley put out. But he gets to violate these orders so that he can do this and have a fun birthday party maskless without practicing social distancing? How dare you? You're an insult to the office. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that he is not reelected again. You're no Republican. And everyone else should too. I will not follow laws that elected officials themselves do not follow. And just as the motto from the Alamo, come and take it, come and make me. Inexcusable. Do not tolerate this from these people. They work for us. They get our tax dollars. They are not your superiors. They are not your barons or your lords or they're not some kind of aristocracy that gets to mete out rules and punishments on you that they themselves are exempted from. That is not how it works in our republic. And we've shed a lot of blood to make it that way. Inexcusable. The more I talk about it, the madder I get of it. And I honestly, these judges owe everyone an apology. And I think they should leave office, quite frankly. So we'll see. We've reached out to, and I'll have the judge on. I'll have Judge Glenn Whitley on. I'll have Judge Clay Jenkins on. I am a good hostess and I will be polite. I will not be mean or disrespectful to anyone, but I do think that you owe people an explanation. Now, we have a lot more in store. Coming up, the latest with cancel culture. Grifting ain't easy also. Got that for you. The latest whistleblowers testifying during these hearings on election integrity. One whistleblower says he drove thousands of ballots from New York to Pennsylvania. Why? What? Where's this? What in the world? We've got this and a whole bunch of stuff, including Biden's Treasury pick, Janet Yellen, talking about social justice warriorism. The fact that Yellen is his pick signals that you're about to bend over the barrel in taxes. That's coming.
We're not going to force you to wear a mask, but if you do head out, take the Dana Show with you by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So a South Korean agency says that North Korea, in order to, I guess, control the coronavirus, executed people, banned fishing at sea, and locked down their capital of Pyongyang as part of their frantic efforts. Executed, yes. The government there also, government air quotes, also ordered diplomats overseas to refrain from any acts that could provoke the United States because it's worried, they say. I think that's a bunch of garbage. What? Unless they're saying that they're a warmonger. Yeah. They said that, but they said that that Kim Jong-un was displaying, quote, excessive anger and taking, quote, irrational measures over the pandemic and its economic impact. Yeah, one of the individuals they executed was a high profile money changer in Pyongyang because they held that person responsible for the falling exchange rate.
I
think sometimes it feels like that's where we're heading, right? Oh goodness, a blue check historian doesn't understand history. And this woman, she's been like featured, I think, in New York Times and others. She's like a history writer. Jennifer Wright had tweeted, shocked that people who can't admit they lost the Civil War also can't admit that they lost the 2020 election. My response was, Democrats? Like, that's who? A Texas state rep, Terry Meza, has filed a bill making it illegal to defend your home with a firearm. Yep. That's what it's Irving State Representative. This is an Irving, but it's Texas State Rep. Terry Meza. It's House Bill 196. They want to repeal the Castle Doctrine, preventing homeowners from using firearms to defend their property. And she complained that people were accusing her of being anti-Second Amendment. And she literally said that people can defend themselves, but not with guns because that they should be banned. That's what she says. So that's anti-Second Amendment. And there's a bunch of other bills that Democrats have introduced, trying to prohibit campus carry, ban long guns, all kinds of stuff. So that's why it's important to also pay attention to what's happening in your state elections and to hold that line as well. In Minnesota, violent carjackings are surging across Minneapolis. They were up, get this, compared with last November. Attacks like violent carjackings are up 537%. I wonder why. Couldn't have anything to do with like defunding the police or ruining police morale or anything of that nature, could it? No, I don't think so. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
Hi, I'm Sarah Carter, host of the Sarah Carter Podcast. Everywhere you look these days, we're seeing an aggressive effort to destroy what made America great, tearing down our history, attacking our freedoms, and canceling any person who dares to cross the progressive speech police. We cannot stand by and let this happen. It's time for the silent majority to become the unsilent majority. Join me on the Sarah Carter Podcast. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
As you've said before, Mr. President-elect, out of our collective pain as a nation, we will find collective purpose to control the pandemic and build our economy back better than before. To rebuild our infrastructure and create better jobs, to invest in our workforce, to advance racial equity and make sure the economic recovery includes everyone, to address the climate crisis, with American ingenuity and American jobs.
Hmm. Oh, boy. Well, that's Janet Yellen. That is Biden's pick for Treasury Secretary. We're going to use the Treasury Department to resolve racial inequality and climate change. How in the world? The fact that that's his pick, because this is a woman who thinks that high taxes can solve everything, is a little bit not awesome.
It's a lot of bit scary.
I don't know how else to put it. I have not been a fan of her for a very, very long time. Just because of her record at the Fed and everything else. I'm just not. Mm-mm. But she would be. Biden was joking about her. Said something about Hamilton and Lin-Manuel Miranda. She would be the first female. I don't even care about this. First female Treasury Secretary. I don't care. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if she's the first woman. Can she do math? Well, she doesn't have to, Dana, because vagina. You don't need math. That doesn't even make any sense. But, I mean, quite frankly, that's sometimes I think that that's the logic that some people employ in order to get to this rationale. I don't know that you can have a less progressive choice than Janet Yellen. Some people were saying that, well, it could have been Elizabeth Warren. They weren't going to take Elizabeth Warren out of the Senate. There's no way because the Senate numbers are too close. They're not going to have that fight. They're not going to do that. Democrats are not going to do that. But she believes that you solve problems by giving the government more money. And there have been I was actually reading a piece in the New York Times about when she was the chair of Federal Reserve from 2014 to 2018. She doesn't have the best record. And when she was there, the way that they handled what was written as their premature rate hike, that whole the cycle that caused a shortfall in spending and then the economic slowdown in 15 and 16. And it just means gird your loins is what it means. She also, and I think these remarks, was this her remarks when she was at that like Jackson Hole conference or something like that? And she believes that government is what creates conditions to have a strong economy. I mean, she believes that government action is what does that, whereas I think that government actions can create a strong economy when there's less of government actions. The less government you have, the stronger the economy you have. When you don't have the government regulating everything and trying to take a piece of everybody's pie. But I don't think that she wasn't a good regulator, and I don't think that she's going to be good in Treasury. The Washington Post had a piece, Janet Yellen is the Treasury Secretary we need right now. I don't think that at all. And that's just one of, and I was going to have this piece about his, some of these other, the transition team and everything else. They were looking at, because he's filling out his team, and they were, Deputy Attorney General, would it be Sally Yates, or CIA, what is it? They said that Cohen, one of the deputy CIA guys, might take over. There's a lot of stuff that's still kind of up in the air, but some of their other cabinet contenders, like Rahm Emanuel, is one that had been suggested to run Department of Transportation. So I don't know who they were. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Apparently, some of the names tossed around: Keisha Lance Bottoms, Atlanta Mayor Karen Bass, who's the Democrat out of California, who loves her some. Cuban dictatorship. Remember, she got in a big old thing with Castro and all that stuff. So I'm just there's things that she could do as Treasury Secretary that wouldn't necessarily even involve the Senate if Democrats don't retain the Senate. Although I think that if Democrats don't get the Senate, there's a lot that the Senate can do to blunt that. But still, and we're going to get into all of that as it gets going, as we get closer and closer to all of this. But he is expected to nominate her for Treasury Secretary. A couple of other things that I want to make sure that I touch on, because there's so much out there that did you see? Let me pull this up, because Obama was deployed to control the squad, and he's getting criticism now. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he's getting a lot of criticism for this. I had always wondered after he left office, because he's still kind of considered the de facto head of the Democrat Party. But I'd always wondered what ideological spirit would be most prominent after he left. And I think that they call them establishment. And I don't even know if you can say establishment. The only difference between the Democrat establishment and like the squad is that they're really all on the same page. The people like Pelosi and Schumer are worried that they're going to spoil the apple cart if they move too quickly towards socialism. So they want to move slower and be less detectable. Whereas AOC and Ilhan Omar and Presley and all of, you know, the squad members, they think just rushing head first into it is the way to go. Show everyone your cards and, you know, be completely, just have no strategy except yelling and being on Twitter a lot. And so Barack Obama comes out. Who was he talking to? He was doing, it was like, what is a late night? Oh, no, it was some Peter Hamby thing. Yeah. So he was doing an interview and he characterized the defund the police. He characterized that as being a, quote, snappy slogan over that actually hurt Democrats last election, which it did. There were a number, they lost a number of congressional seats. They lost a number of seats in state legislatures across the country. He said that it was a, quote, snappy slogan, and it polarized many Americans, and it was ineffectual at producing broader reforms to the criminal justice system in the United States. And his actual quote was, if you believe, as I do, and there's video here, that we should be able to reform the criminal justice system so that it's not biased and treats everyone fairly, I guess you can use a snappy slogan like defund the police, but you lost a big audience the minute you say it, which is true. I mean, no one actually thought that through. But people are mad at him now. Ilhan Omar tweeted at him. She said, we lose people in the hands of police. It's not a slogan, but a policy demand. Ayanna Pressley tweeted at him, criticizing him. Cori Bush criticized him. With all due respect, Mr. President, let's talk about losing people. And then she compared Michael Brown to Breonna Taylor, which they're totally not. Michael Brown tried to murder a cop. There are three separate forensic investigations, one of which was conducted by Barack Obama's own Eric Holder Department of Justice. And it concluded that the evidence, not only was the evidence not there to support the narrative of hands up, don't shoot, but all the evidence, including gunpowder residue between like the forefinger and the thumb and on Brown's hand, showed explicitly that he had his finger in the trigger guard and was trying to kill Darren Wilson. These are facts that are indisputable. And it is why the decision was made as it was, with members of that community who looked at all the evidence. And you have Cori Bush, who wants to compare Breonna Taylor to Mike Brown. No. He robbed a store and got cops called on him, and then he tried to kill a cop. Ain't the same thing. Now, they are criticizing him. And it is interesting that he came out now to say this. And do you think he's far enough away from being in office now? Because at first, it immediately was like he was really interested in protecting his legacy. But is he, or is, because I would just, he was so careful not to pick a fight with any of these people. You know that for like the first 2 years of Trump's term, he did not say a peep about, you know, any of these people coming up in the Democrat Party. Not a word. He didn't even help campaign for some of the people that they were challenging. So is he just now? Is he, I mean, I kind of go back and forth. Is he being deployed sort of to control that element within the party? Does he feel like that's protecting his legacy, or does he just not GAF and he thinks that they're just too mouthy? I don't know.
Could be to protect the party. I don't know about his legacy, though.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm saying this, but he actually is savvier than they are.
Yeah. It's true, though.
Yeah. He is savvier than they are. Oh, my goodness. But then he was saying that white people are fearful black people would get out of control if police reform is carried out in the U.S., which I thought was one of the dumbest and most racist things I've ever heard. Because when you look at these, when you look at the areas, like look at, we just had a headline about Minneapolis and how 537% increase in violent carjackings. When you look in downtown areas, and I lived in downtown St. Louis for a number of years. I mean, these are very diverse communities that are disproportionately affected by violent crime that their Democrat leadership does little about. So that's not true. I think people are just worried about crime getting out of control at all. I mean, remember in Chicago, Otis McDonald, one of the reasons that that man took and fought the handgun ban and took on Cook County is because of the disproportionate crime in his predominantly black neighborhood that was victimizing innocent black people. So it's not, people are just worried that crime is going to get out of control. Good heavens. That's just a goofy thing to say. Not as goofy, and I've got to get to this before we get into the situation, because I have some SJWism and all of that. We got a couple of minutes left. New York Post has this story. Prince Harry says COVID-19 is what we get for messing with Mother Nature. Yeah. It's almost like the Chinese Communist Party wrote that.
I know.
So he was doing an interview. This is like the most millennial thing that I think that's ever come out of my mouth. I am baby Gen X. Thank you. In a recent interview for Waterbear, a streaming platform dedicated to environmental documentaries. Sounds so amazing. The Duke of Sussex said that the pandemic is an ecological retribution. What? What? Nazi armband said what? And then he reprimanded humanity for taking Earth's natural resources for granted. He did this sitting in his $17 million Montecito mansion after he got caught in controversy last year for flying private to all of the, you know, to southern France and private islands and everywhere else.
Did he say who perpetrated this retribution?
No, he didn't say anything about China.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because he probably, does he know where it is? Rarely do I get personal about stuff like this, but I'm only talking about it because I cannot believe the hubris of this guy. Like, clearly participation trophies were given. You want to talk about white privilege. He lectures everyone else, flies around on private jets all the time, and then says, well, it's because I have to protect, you know, my family. We want privacy. And then I don't know what the hell he's done since he left Britain. He sits over in his big old Montecito mansion, and all they do is issue press release after press release for their stupid Instagram filter named organizations that don't ever do anything. No one knows what they do. And then his briefcase girl wife, whatever, from the game show. I don't even... Good night. No one cares. No, shut up. Stop. China's applauding him. Gosh, what an embarrassment. All right. So I had to get that on. It's just so. I don't know. It's his despair. What do you say? All right. So coming up, a couple of things. I have some social justice warriorism for you, including how I don't know. What is people who criminalize trans health care? I don't even know what that is. What actress who said she's now a dude yesterday. And again, I don't care what you do. I just feel like it was such an attention seeking thing. Right. Again, the Wachowskis did their thing and nobody knew really. And then they just started making movies again. And people noticed that they had longer hair and had makeup on. And everyone was like, oh, you did that. Yeah. They didn't seek out press releases. Validate me. But, Ellen Page, who is now Elliot Page, she said that there should be retribution for politicians who criminalize trans health care. And that's a sentence. What? So I don't know. My friend Derek Hunter said, does she want a prostate exam? Like, what does that even mean? We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about the president's threat to veto a defense bill unless Congress does something on 230. So is it like repeal or modify 230? I want to make sure we get that right. So we'll discuss that and a lot more here coming up. Kurt Schlichter will also be joining us, and we have Florida Man coming up.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I don't even know how to deal with a couple of these stories. One of them is so bad, there's no way I can read it. What? This other one is also still kind of bad. This is a Click Orlando. Woman with active warrant hides ID in private part during traffic stop, say police. It is not a card swiper. Takara Nowden is accused also of urinating outside of the jail. This is in Hollywood, Florida. She was arrested over this last weekend. She was riding in a vehicle that was pulled over in a connection with a hit and run. And according to the arrest report, police discovered in the driver's vehicle, Takara Nowden, she had an active warrant out of Broward Sheriff's Office for operating a vehicle without a valid license. She was taken to BSO for processing, and police told medical staff that she had hidden her Nebraska ID card in her lady area during the traffic stop. They x-rayed her. It was indeed there. And they had to take her to the hospital to get it out and then bring her back to jail. Yeah, tomorrow I'll tell you about how a guy killed the wrong man. Shouldn't have killed anybody anyway, but he killed a guy named Michael. He was looking for a Mikey. Yeah, stay with us.
The $2 trillion demand that you previously had. And also, I'd like you to respond to Attorney General Bill Barr saying there was no widespread fraud, please.
Well, in response to Attorney General Bill Barr, I guess he's the next one to be fired, since he now, too, says there's no fraud. Trump seems to fire anyone in that regard.
Yeah, that's not correct, by the way. That was Chuck Schumer addressing that story that broke last night where Bill Barr supposedly had said that, oh, no, there was no fraud. And in fact, a DOJ spokesperson reached out to CBS's Catherine Herridge, and the quote that they gave was, and this is verbatim, quote, some media outlets have incorrectly reported that the department has concluded its investigation of election fraud and announced an affirmative finding of no fraud in the election. That is not what the Associated Press reported, nor what the Attorney General stated. The department will continue to receive and vigorously pursue all specific and credible allegations of fraud as expeditiously as possible, end quote. So that's not at all what he said.
Media.
Yeah, he didn't say that. So please just hold your fire on Bill Barr, because it's not what he said. I don't know what what they're looking at, what they're investigating. But I have to say this though too. I was watching this testimony of this truck driver. And I've seen testimony of these other individuals who have been coming forward. And this one guy testified in one of these state legislative hearings. He's under oath. He's testifying under a threat of penalty. He could have jail time or a huge fine. And this one guy, he was a United States Postal Service subcontractor, this Jesse Morgan. And he said that he was really suspicious. He had a cargo load of 288,000 completed ballots. And he said, I was driving them from New York to Pennsylvania. Just listen to this.
These Gaylords contain plastic trays. I call them totes, but trays will work, of ballots stacked on top of each other. All the envelopes were the same size. I could see the envelopes had handwritten addresses, return addresses. They were complete ballots. I didn't think much of it at the time. I then drove to Lancaster, unhooked my trailer in its normal place, and then drove my truck to where I always park it. In a nearby lot.
So,
and then I went home.
So this, I mean, I don't know. I've never heard of this guy. He's just a driver. Is anyone, are people just, and by people I mean really the press, are they just not interested in the story? Why would you drive ballots across state lines? Is there something I'm missing?
Besides fraud?
I don't think states like outsource their ballot counting, right?
Can I give you like, this is just a friend of mine who's up in the St. Louis area. His dad is up in age, received a ballot in Illinois. His dad lives in Illinois, but he also received a ballot from another state with his name and the address in Illinois. And I told him to find, like literally just this morning, I told him, please give me the screenshot of that because I want to see what this is about. But there were other states mailing to other states. And I don't understand why that is, because each state handles their own election. So I don't understand why that would be a thing.
I remember after we moved to Texas, Missouri sent me a ballot. I could have voted twice.
Right. Yeah.
I could have voted twice easily. In like two different elections, and I let them know. I'm like, I can't do this.
I guess his dad never moved out of state. So yeah. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah. But does anybody want to know where that stuff was going? Why it crossed state lines? I mean, are we just going to pretend that we're not interested in any of this? I'm curious about this. I'm not saying this is a way to, I'm not making a statement on anything other than why is this not important? Even, you know, to the press, even if it changes nothing about the outcome, wouldn't you still want to know what is happening here and maybe look into this guy's story? Why would you not be interested in following up on this? And do you realize how your lack of interest for the Fourth Estate, you're just fueling. If you don't like conspiracy theorists or theories, if that's what you say genuine concern about election integrity is, you know, you're just fueling all of this by refusing to do your duty as members of the quote unquote free press. I'm interested in this. I just don't think that people are going to go up and testify under penalty of jail time or fines to something like this. I mean, especially if they think that this didn't happen and they're just going up because they're, you know, being moved to do so. I mean, I don't think anybody would risk that. I mean, I'm sure some would, but I don't really think that all these people, all these stories that I keep seeing. I'm going to ask my friend Kurt Schlichter about this. He's going to be coming up with us because he was in Nevada doing all of this stuff. And I thought he made a good point earlier because he was discussing how in some of these areas, the margin was so thin and it was there. Some of the irregularities were so slight, but the problem is that there are a ton of these different incidents where it's not just one town that has a slim margin or missing ballot or whatever, or like a few irregularities, but it's that town and another and another and another. And then it all just kind of adds up and it makes it very difficult to fight that legally. And he's an attorney. So he's, and this is a guy who's, you know, I've known him for over a decade. He's a bulldog, but he's also very, you know, transparent about this whole thing. That's where it becomes more difficult. A friend of mine had said, and this friend of mine actually works in policy and is not a lobbyist, but an advisor, said, yeah, if you know you were going to try to rock an election, that's the way you would do it. You would have these little instances of irregularities and you would just have so many of them. But then, and me, I question everything. Even if I disagree with the perspective from which I question it, just to question it for myself, like I will always try to find any holes in my position on something and either reinforce it and make it a stronger argument or reevaluate it. And I think anyone who's honest should do that. But, you know, I had asked my friend, I said, okay, well, is what you're asserting, and I'm not saying I disagree with them, but what isn't that the same as basically asserting that there are a lot, there would have to be a lot of people in on it? And how do you have that many people involved? Now, I have another thing to add to that, though. How would you, first off, how would you have that many people involved and keep it quiet? But then secondly, and here's my other thing. What if it's that appearance, but not really? So let me go back to a moment for all the rhetoric that we've heard from the left over the years, even before the right started pushing back. During, was it 2009 and 2010? I think the hot talking point was, if you did not support Obamacare, then you're a racist. You want people to die. Like people now, that's even, now it's Godwin's law. Like if you even so much as wore a red hat, you're like a Nazi sympathizer. You're a Nazi. It's gotten so easy for people to throw those terms out. And so many people do it. I think in all of that, there are some people who genuinely believe this. So let me ask this. This goes right to the point of what I was just saying. If you are working in with ballots or in working with your state election commission or anything in any capacity, and you really believed that this person was Hitler, that this person was just the second, you know, he was the devil, and people are going to die. If you really and truly believe that, then you could justify yourself getting, you know, let's toss some ballots. Let's, you know, I'm exploring something here. Then you could justify just, you know, your part. Now, who's to say that hasn't happened a bunch of times over? Do you see my point? That's where rhetoric leads you. So there's a lot to unpack here. And I understand, going back to what Schlichter had said, this is a really, that's a difficult thing to fight. Because, what I mean, you're either, if you would take that argument, it's either, well, it's organized and a lot of people got to be quiet about it. But then what I proposed, what if there are a lot of people who actually believe the rhetoric that they say? Where they can't separate a policy issue from a person, and they actually do believe that Nazism doesn't actually mean historically what it is, but it now includes dissent on just like policy that has to do with like the economy or something. And there were enough of them that actually believed that. I don't know which scenario I find more terrifying. You see what I'm saying?
Is it a hybrid of both scenarios?
Maybe it is. I don't know. But I'm exploring, you know, I was thinking about all of this and I was working this out in my head and I was texting my friend. And my friend was like, I think your second point is actually a really good one. But is there, I mean, are there that many people that would, I mean, that's the other thing. So I don't know where I'm curious as to your all's thoughts about this. I'm going to ask Schlichter about this.
I know we've got a break soon, but I just think, like you suggested this a while ago, why don't we just every election audit?
Yeah.
Just that's all we have to do. And then make that the rule. And then I think we have in short order, we'll be able to restore some faith in the electoral process.
Yeah. I think so. I think you have to audit everything. And I also think, too, that people really should commit to, you know, if someone does something that is actually, you know, absolutely a moral deficit, or if they behave in such a way, then yes, call that out. But disagreements on things like trade, you know, energy, that does not make someone a Nazi, right? Like we've really have got to stop, and by we I mean really the left, but the whole idea of entertaining this lowest common denominator style of debate as anything genuine worth entertaining as public discourse. Really. And That's why I just, like, when you, who was it we were talking about? Was it on MSNBC? I can't remember. It was a soundbite we played, and somebody was like, well, he just lies. Like, that's not even commentary. That's not even analysis. That's a YouTube comment. That's not analysis. Stop. It's the dumbification of discourse in America. And you see where it leads you, where it's led us.
Hi, I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday on the Three Martini Lunch as we dissect the day's good, bad, and crazy news. Each day, you'll get our original and fun insights into everything from presidential politics to the war on punctuation to Jim's hammering the media's pathetic efforts to turn Andrew Cuomo into a hero.
And he's got everything. He's got the personality. He's got the brother. He's got the charm. He's got the jokes. Greg, he's got everything except the actual success.
Subscribe to the Three Martini Lunch at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
So Los Angeles Lakers, LeBron James, he's agreed to a two-year, $85 million maximum contract expansion with the franchise. That is what the CEO of Clutch Sports told a couple of different sports outlets. $85 million. So I think, in other news, I think I might try basketball. I tried that in junior high, and there's the one thing I had no talent at, just despite loving the sport to bits. I had, out of everything in the world, I have the least amount of talent in basketball. It was horrifying. I mean, it was horrifying. Like, the court, I was ruining the court almost. It was all so bad. Anyway, oh, goodness. A whale, this is crazy. A whale's 39-foot, well, it's a 39-foot leviathan. It's a large whale, but an immaculately preserved skeleton of this 39-foot leviathan was discovered in Thailand, and they think it's like 5,000 years old. It was found west of Bangkok off the coast, and it was thought to have been from, I never heard of this before, from a bride's whale, B-R-Y-D-E, a species that's still alive today. They're doing carbon dating on it, but they think it'll help give conditions and, you know, maybe give some insight into the. It looks, it's insane looking, but absolutely perfectly preserved. They say it's a very rare find because there are so few whale subfossils in Asia, and it is in excellent condition. So that's actually, it looks creepy. I would not ever get in the water. Not now that I, especially in deep water, now that knowing that that thing is still out there. Ah, stay with us. We got Kurt Schlichter coming up.
2020 sucks, right? Don't let the source you get your info from suck too. Get The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the top of the list is, you know, which one do you take? If there are two, maybe three vaccines, how do you know which one you should take?
Well, the answer for the next few months is you're not going to have much of a choice. You pretty much have to take what's offered to you. And that's okay, because all of these vaccines, again, work by the same mechanism. They all induce those virus neutralizing antibodies. That's what's going to keep you out of the hospital in the intensive care unit.
That is CNN's Dr. Hotez. You're not going to have much of a. Was it now? To be fair, was he talking about a choice between the vaccines or whether or not you're going to take them? Because I don't know. I'm just saying, like, when you trespass on my property to try to inject me with something, we have castle doctrine and stand your ground and all kinds of stuff here in Texas. So that normally doesn't work out well for people. Just, you know, FYI. All right. So welcome back to the show, Dana Lash, danalash.com. One of the things that we've been talking about, in addition to the vaccines and the heavy-handed government response to the virus restrictions. I was giving you examples of just like in Texas, some judges and across the country. And I know everybody across the country who listens in different markets and different states all are dealing with some level of this. So it's like this common denominator that we're all dealing with. This coupled with the refusal to acknowledge Americans' legitimate concerns about election integrity. It's just, you know, people are just really, it's like almost like purposely making Americans as distrustful as possible, not just of the process, but the people that we pay to carry out this process, which I keep reminding people, like, you're not getting the return on the investment of your tax dollars into your election systems. Like, Georgia, how in the world are you still counting votes? I mean, for crying out loud, Texas, you can drive for 13 hours and still be in Texas. We have more people, and yet we got everything counted, done, signed, sealed, and delivered. I mean, it was just, it was great. So this, there's just a lot to talk about, a lot to talk about. And I was looking a couple of different pieces that my friend Kurt Schlichter had written, and especially when he was, as it related to Georgia, because some people wanted to take their ball and go home with Georgia and not stand and fight. And it's like, well, the whole point is you're going to lose. If you claim to care so much about the past 4 years and you want to fight for the administration, how are you going to do that? By giving the Senate over to Chuck Schumer and having Chuck Schumer and Senate Democrats undermine and undo everything that's happened for the past 4 years. Oh, my goodness. My friend Kurt Schlichter, he is a columnist over at Town Hall, an attorney, a veteran. And he also has a new book out, too. And we're going to talk all about that and get into his pieces as well. Crisis is the book that he has. It's a part of a series that he's been doing. It's a great, great piece. Good to see you, my friend. I'm loving the sunny background, Kurt.
I know. I'm sitting here going, wait a minute. There's this giant shadow across me.
Holy I like cow, it.
Much like there's a shadow across the conservative movement lately. And it must be dispelled, Dana. You're absolutely right. It must be dispelled.
I have to ask you before I get into some of the voting stuff. You're out there in California. What is it with all your elected officials not wanting to follow the restrictions? And what the hell is up with French Laundry? Why do people go there? It's like $300 per plate. Do they chew the food for you?
Oh, my gosh. And it's like we have a pate bechamel with hearts of anchovies and artichokes and root vegetables. It's like, I just want a cheeseburger. I'm a simple guy. I don't know. Look, I'm a military guy, too. You got to lead by example. I remember when I was commanding a battalion, me and Sergeant Major ate last. Everybody else got taken care of. You set the example. So it really grinds me when I see these mayors and these governors telling us, yeah, you're going to kill your whole family if you have Thanksgiving. And then, you know, they're caught with like a drumstick in their pie hole.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's, come on. Come on. And what it tells us, you know, hypocrisy does two things. It validates the underlying value, but it also shows people that, well, maybe it's not that important. And then you get people who start thinking it isn't important. Look, I had COVID. I you know, it was a week ago I got tested and cleared. It's a real disease. For some people, it's very dangerous, and we should act in a sensible manner determined by ourselves. I hate this one-size-fits-all things. I was having somebody lecture me the other day, and I was like, well, what's my status? Can I catch COVID? And this person didn't know, and the fact is I can't. I've had it. So why is this person on the other side of the continent presuming to tell me what to do? And why is there this giant one-size-fit-all idea? I got a better idea. How about all of us decide? Because frankly, Gavin Newsom has shown that, by his own standards, he doesn't have the best judgment.
Yes. Yes. Doesn't have the best judgment. And apparently neither do the San Jose mayor, the San Francisco mayor, the another LA County executive. All of these,
yeah,
all
Sheila
of these people.
Kuhl, yep.
Yeah. And it just, it's, and of course here, I mean, it's not just California. We have a couple of judges here in Texas, including the county judge for the county in which I live, that extended the mask mandate, but yet they don't follow any of these rules for themselves. I have to touch on, Kurt, I'm going to switch gears on you because I love the point that you made in a tweet to what would, I guess, Biden's pick for press secretary, Jen Psaki. She was pictured with a Yushchenko that has a hammer and sickle on it. And the media went out to say, well, it's out of context. Her response was kind of weird because she was saying that if you criticize her for wearing a Yushchenko that has a hammer and sickle on it, that you're basically a puppet for Putin. I loved what you said, though, because you're like, yeah, I fought the Cold War. I served. I fought in the Cold War. I did it. If you're wearing a Yushchenko given to you by a communist and it has a hammer and sickle on it, I loved your response.
Well, you know, I'm always sensitive about the Russian thing because it's inevitably someone who wasn't in Germany with me. I was in part of 7 Corps when the wall fell down. I was like literally in the Cold War, and I get lectured by these little Vox writers
who are suddenly, you know, born again anti-communists. I know how to defeat a motor rifle regiment using an army battalion or company. So, you know, and these guys, they're wearing these little hats. You know, Dana, would you wear a hat with a swastika on it? I would never do that. And in the murder sweepstakes, if the communists aren't right up there even with the Nazis, they've exceeded them. So, I don't think it's cute or funny.
Yeah.
She can wear what she wants, but you know what she can't do is lecture me and get me going, well, yeah, I guess that's a good point. No, you're a hypocrite. You're a weasel. You're a moral illiterate. Don't you presume to lecture me? You don't have the credentials.
I love that. And she doesn't have the credentials. We were told that if you wore a red hat, that somehow was like an outward symbol of Nazism, of inner Nazism, or that person was a racist. But that, no context was given. I mean, they even said that about a teenager.
No
CNN
context.
Did. Yeah, no context. But when has that courtesy ever been extended to like the administration or anybody else, Kurt?
Well, look, our culture has become a giant game of Calvin ball, where the media and the establishment simply decides that rules exist for us, but not for them. And that's everything from, you know, dining out on your pate at the French Laundry to wearing hideous symbols of mass murder. And this is why we're no longer playing. You know, the establishment is stunned that we have no respect for the institutions. But my question is, what have you done to earn them? Which, of course, makes them even madder because they don't believe they have to earn anything. Our society is being run by a bunch of cultural trust fund babies.
Yes.
They didn't build these establishments. They didn't sweat or bleed for them. They just inherited them, so to speak, by going to Harvard or Yale and being handed the keys to the Buick. And suddenly, all these uppity peasants aren't respecting them. Well, what have they done that deserves respect? Why would I respect them? Why would I obey them? You know, there's a social contract out there. I don't see them meeting their obligations. What would ever possess you to think that I'll meet my alleged obligations?
Yeah, that's a great point. I want to look at Georgia because you've been talking about the election integrity. I keep watching, Kurt, I keep watching these videos of these individuals in Michigan and Pennsylvania and elsewhere who are testifying under penalty of like jail time or a fine about the irregularities and just straight up sketchy things that they saw. And it's amazing that we don't have a quote unquote free press that is interested in, you know, for instance, the guy who was driving the truck from New York to Pennsylvania. Like what in the world's happened? Why is that not a story? I mean, he's not a political animal. He's just coming out telling people what happened.
Well, somewhere along the way, Dana, the media figured out, gosh, we can get away with it. We can just not report the news. 20 years ago, they would have grudgingly done it. I mean, look at Monica Lewinsky and then compare what happened with Hunter Biden. Mm-hmm. They simply said, hey, what if we don't say anything about it? Now, you can get away with that for a little while because it's a novel invention. It's like ballot harvesting in California. We got sideswiped here in 2018. The Democrats made it legal. They did it. In 2020, we were ready because the rules had changed, and now we're ready to play by them. I'm watching on the screen as you're showing things like my Parler handle. We're creating our own network, and your show, of course. We're creating our own networks. We're creating our own information. We are creating our own paradigm, and that's because we can't rely on a generally accepted one. You know,
right.
I would prefer we not need an alternative media. I would prefer that we just have a media with a bunch of different voices. But in fact, we do need an alternative media because it's the alternative to the establishment. The media is the tool of the establishment, and it sees its job as promoting the establishment and suppressing information that will undercut the establishment's authority. That's what it's doing with this electoral stuff. Now, you know, before I caught COVID, I was out in Nevada working for the president. The fact is there are massive irregularities to this election. And look, I make no secret of it. It is a huge uphill fight to win in court to get the president a second term starting in 2021. 2025 is a different matter. That is just a objective fact. But that doesn't mean that there's no evidence. That doesn't mean there are no problems. It means that you know, the procedures we have in place to solve them are ill-suited to this situation.
Right.
But they are the procedures. The fact is we need to pursue these because we need to get that information out there. Then we need to act on it. We can't just forget this, you know, in February. Well, that was a pain. Well, let's stumble on. No, we need to make election fairness and election integrity a priority. You pointed out that Texas managed to count all its votes in a week, and Fulton County still counting.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. By the way, California only finished one congressional race here in L.A. County like 2 days ago.
Math
Mike Garcia.
Hard.
Thankfully, he won.
Yeah. Matthew, I want to ask you something to that point, because you bring up, we're talking with Kurt Schlichter. You can follow him at Kurt Schlichter on Twitter, find him at Town Hall as well. You bring up a really good point in how it is an uphill fight. And I was relaying earlier in a previous segment, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine who's, you know, an advisor, does the D.C. thing, hates D.C. though. And they were telling me, well, you know, if that it looks like instead of just like one massive fraud, there's a bunch of little stuff, slight irregularities, just enough, you know, here and there, a death by a thousand paper cuts. And I told my friend, just exploring it, I said, so how do they keep that many people quiet if that many people are in on it? Or, and this is what I want to get your opinion on, the rhetoric that we've seen from the left, where if you opposed Obamacare, you were a Nazi. You were a racist Nazi. If you didn't believe in the Green New Deal, you wanted everyone to die, and like I guess asteroids were going to pummel the Earth. You're a horrible person. The issue can't be separated from the person. Anyone who doesn't go in lockstep with progressive ideology is a Nazi. Is it? I mean, is it possible that you would have a lot of people out there, maybe involved in elections, that truly think Trump is Nazi? He is a horrible person. He's going to kill so many people, and because of all of that rhetoric. Oh, let's just throw some votes out here. Let's just throw some of these ballots out. I mean, that's it's sad to say, but that's kind of where we are.
I think there's a real possibility of that. Look, there are esoteric and not super exciting irregularities about, you know, setting the verification standards on the optical scanners.
Yeah.
Or who compare signatures all the way up to people driving in and dumping in a bunch of votes. But here's something interesting. What is the name of a major Democrat who said, well, cheating to have Trump lose the election would be wrong? I haven't seen that. I mean, is there one out there who said, well, if you could prove that the election was fraudulent, then he should be reelected? I haven't seen that. And the logic is kind of, if Trump is literally Hitler, and that's what they're saying, if he's literally Hitler, aren't they kind of morally obligated? You know, if not go back in time and kill baby Hitler, to maybe massage the rules a little bit to get him out of the way. I mean, aren't you required to do that? I mean, wouldn't you, if you could, quote unquote, cheat to make Hitler lose the election and not come into power in Germany? And that's kind of the logic of their position. If Trump really is literally Hitler, why would it be wrong to cheat in the election? Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard anybody explain, no, we shouldn't cheat. I mean, I've looked for it. And I find that interesting that nobody says, well, you know, if Trump had won fair and square, he'd be legitimate. Now, we know what happened in 2016. He won fair and square, and he was never legitimate.
Yeah.
So I think you bring up a good point. And again, it's this changing of the rules where they assume the status quo is going to remain the same for everybody else, but we're just going to move this important goalpost a little bit. But everybody else is going to abide by the rules. That's not how human nature works.
Yeah, not at all. Your book, Crisis, it's Kelly Turnbull, book 5. It's out Kindle and paperback. It's the number one new release in political thrillers. Congratulations on that. Tell us about
29 on all of Amazon. I was pretty amazed for a little right-wing novel with a hero who runs around with guns and making smart remarks.
You got a
about,
red, white, and blue cover?
Crazy liberals.
Yeah, you have the red, white, and blue cover. How dare you, sir? How dare you?
I know. I trigger everybody.
But this book, it's the Kelly Turnbull series, and this is because you have what, four? This is the fifth one. So there are four
this
others.
This is the fifth one.
Where do you get this time, by the way? Also, because you're an attorney, and then you were just like in Nevada a couple of weeks ago.
Well, I had COVID for 2 weeks. So
you didn't write this book in 2 weeks.
Took a lot of stuff off my plate. But look, I'm a good time manager, and I got to tell you, these books are fun to write. These books are inspired by our mutual friend Andrew Breitbart in a way. And I thank him in every book because he said, look, we conservatives can't just sit around there and complain that there's nothing we want to read. But if you're going to do conservative stuff, if there's a conservative, and these are conservative action novels, you got to make them fun.
Yeah.
I wanted to have the fun of, you know, the airplane book. You get on the plane, you're flying across the country, you got 3 hours to kill. You want to read something exciting, something a little bit funny. I wrote the books I wanted to read. And frankly, a lot of other people wanted to read them. I'm selling them like hotcakes. You go on Amazon, get them on Kindle, get them on paperback. And the thing is, they're fun. It's not a Patan death march. There's no hugging at the end where everybody says, we've learned an important lesson about the importance of a free enterprise. It's just good fun. And and you have an appearance in it.
What?
You are in chapter two, and it's frankly hilarious.
I am so excited about this.
You are in it.
I'm so excited about it. I just started like the last book that Walter Williams had written, but I may actually, just passed
what
away.
What a loss.
I know. I bet I'm gonna have to start yours now. I think
you're going to see it, and I think you're going to laugh, and that's part of it.
Exactly.
Why should conservatism be the domain of these, you know, bow tied weenies like
David
French?
I got to get going. They're gonna boot me here in a minute because we're up against the end of this hour. Kurt Schlichter, the book is Crisis. It's the fifth in the Kelly Turnbull series. You can get it on Amazon where books are sold. Kurt, always appreciate you, my friend. Happy belated Thanksgiving,
thanks for having
and
me.
The best of the family.